With many changes coming to Oregon State, you could make the argument that they're the biggest mystery heading into this season. Hello, everyone. Welcome on into the Pac-12 Daily Podcast, July 2026, when the new Pac-12 comes along. We're not waiting around. We're talking about it right now. And spring practice is underway, and especially for Oregon State, a lot of questions to still be answered. It was a terrible season last year, involved with coaching changes. Jamarcus Shepherd takes over the helm for the Beavers, and Ryan Harlan of BeaversEdge.com that covers the Oregon State Beavers for On3 is going to join me for this conversation. Ryan, lots to talk about with this spring conversation. There's quarterback issues. We'll talk about that in a minute, or I guess competition concerns we should discuss. A lot of takeaways. I know you haven't had maybe the same type of media availability as the past, but there's still a lot to discuss when it comes to Oregon State. Before we really dive in, what was your big picture so far? What are you still liking, or what are you seeing about the changes that Jamarcus Shepherd is bringing to the program?
I mean, first off, the practices are a lot more, coaches are vocal. It's very high energy. It's very much overly communicative on what's going on the field and what they want this offense, then also defense, to look like as well too. You get to see that a lot. The intensity from all the coaches is there. They very much share a similar sentiment to what Shepherd brings in day in, day out as a head coach. And it's nice to see when you have everybody on staff kind of buy into the vision and buy into the standard of what they want this football team to be in year one of the new Pac-12. And that's something that kind of really, I think, like, stood out right away. It's not necessarily mainly in, like, the drills and other stuff. There are things that are different that they're doing from a year ago and then even under Smith as well too. But that's just more of, I think, this coaching staff making the most of the opportunities that they do have to get guys live reps and being able to kind of build the depth and foundation for year one of the Jamarcus Shepherd.
Are you seeing a lot of contact so far? What are we seeing in spring? Has it been more focused from the availabilities that you were able to see as media? Are you seeing more of a focus on conditioning? Is it on hitting? Is it on physicality? You know, with Jamarcus Shepherd, with the new coaching staff, one thing that they're ultimately going to be trying to look for is a new identity. Is that identity been relied towards toughness? Is it physicality? What are you seeing so far?
It's mostly positional drills and routes on air. That's kind of the best look of what we've been able to get. Also ball security drills as well too. But I think it's just slightly different in terms of more in the sense of like the positional drills are just slightly different things that coaches teach you differently from ball security wise to the position that you play. Like every coach kind of has their own nuances and things that they bring in. But like for the routes on air kind of stuff, it's a lot different in the sense of you have 4 to 2 quarterbacks kind of throw into receivers. You see a lot of mesh kind of concepts and different kind of route concepts being ran at the same time. And that's just something that we didn't really even see under Bray or Smith either. And it's definitely more of a kind of attention to detail. I would say that that's what this kind of new identity and new standard is. And when a guy messes up, you'll hear it. You'll hear it from the coaches. You'll hear it from Shepherd. Like there is, you know, a hard coaching style, but it's in a way of like, hey, like I respect you. I love you kind of deal as a player and as a person, as a student, right? Like all that. But also at the same time, when we're out there on the practice field, we got a job to do. We're going to go work. That's what it is. And it's not necessarily, I would say, like reinventing the wheel either from kind of what Shepherd and the rest of the staff have done. It's, I think, just more focus on the details, the little things, because that's what killed this team last year was the lack of discipline and the lack of attention on the little things and the fundamentals that ultimately killed them. I mean, special teams being one of them. Right? Like that's, you know, the biggest low hanging fruit I could pick from right there. But, you know, like that was one of them. And then strength and conditioning too. You mentioned that is something that they're trying to improve upon. It was lacking. Like it was a really big deal when the Beavers lost their former strength and conditioning coach, Mike McDonald, to Michigan State, because the what he'd been able to do helped in that success under Smith, and then now bringing in Jeff Eaton, and kind of what they've been able to do strength wise is night and day difference, and a big emphasis on protecting the head and neck area as well too, because that's something that just never really came across to any of the guys on the roster last year, or even the strength and conditioning coach from last year as well. Like, that just never was something that they really talked about a lot. And there's this more emphasis of getting guys ready to go. Like Shep even said it, of we were behind the eight ball to start winter workouts. And credit where credit's due, and getting guys where they are right now. Like, I would say the most amount of guys that are probably not practicing is like just under a handful of guys. And that's just more of a, like, anything lingering, anything, you know, recovering from surgery and stuff like that. That's really all that it is. And it's nothing of like guys just because they've, you know, hurt something, or it's just a lack of strength and conditioning. Very, very kind of an overhaul of from last year to this year.
Big schedule for Oregon State this year with the new Pac-12 obviously coming in. You have a brand new bunch of rivalries to talk about. It's not just Washington State anymore. You know, you have, you open up with your Big 12 opener on the road in Fort Collins against Colorado State October 3rd. But before that, you got some really tough games. You're on the road at Houston for your season opener. You play Texas Tech, who was in the college football playoffs last year, and a couple other non-conference slates as well. One of the biggest issues and biggest concerns heading into this season, I think regardless of who the head coach was going to be, is how is the quarterback play going to be? Malik Murphy returns. That was quite a surprise, at least from an outsider perspective. I don't know how it felt as a beat writer for the team. Then there's obviously Brady Jones, Braden Atkinson. There was a interesting quote that you put out on, it was either you or one of your coworkers on a piece talking about you hearing from Jamarcus Shepherd about the quarterback race. And he was very straightforward. He said, you probably should stop asking me about it because I'm not going to name a quarterback until maybe potentially days before the season opener. Is that expected? Is that concerning? What's your overall take on this? And what are you smelling? What's the smell test show for this quarterback competition so far?
Honestly, in other news, sky is blue from when Shepherd said that. I really just kind of expect him to really do name a guy and kind of right before the season starts. That was always my expectation, because in spring that you hardly don't know anything from what, you know, you'll see in practice from the quarterbacks anyway, to begin with, in terms of the hierarchy and how guys kind of look. Fall camp gets you a better picture, but with a new offense, was always going to be hard to tell with where the quarterback stood. With Malik coming back for another year, it was surprising initially, but kind of learning the behind the scenes of talking to Shep, talking to Dahlin, it very much made a lot more sense in the long term. But also too, this is going to be a true quarterback competition. And I think that is exactly how it should have gone last year. You don't get really anything out of it by just naming a guy early on. And they really feel comfortable with all three of those guys going out there and potentially starting games for them. Braden Atkinson has definitely been spoken high of. Brady Jones, even today, too. Shep really talked highly of him, and especially during Saturday's scrimmage. And it was very much trying to get him to be as best as he can, with throwing in some challenges kind of here and there, and basically telling Jones, hey, like, you made this throw, do it again. So I think any three of those guys are currently in contention for that starting spot. But ultimately, it's just kind of been with the limited window, you only kind of see what you can. And right now, at least the way that the room is kind of shaking out, it's Malik, then Braden, then Brady, in terms of just kind of the initial hierarchy. But that hierarchy also doesn't really tell you much either. I think when these guys kind of get everything under their belt of, you know, the install period and these new things that are kind of being thrown at them and what works best for them, because Mitch has said, like, I want to tailor my scheme to not only just have an identity and a foundation of what we do best, but where my players can succeed in that with their skill sets. And so they're going to be throwing around a bunch of everything to them right now on the offensive side and defensive side too, but it's really much anybody's kind of game right now in terms of where this quarterback competition is at. Because, yeah, like if they had named a quarterback kind of right now, it kind of does, I think, everything a disservice for what's been said. And also too, I think you really know how guys kind of thrive and be their best selves when there is a bit of competition to push them. That to me, I think, is a benefit. And I'm just more curious to see who steps up and who kind of takes the reins on it once we end spring and then get into fall camp.
From what you're hearing from Coach Shepherd and from the other coaches and maybe even the players too, and then what you've seen as well, just a, maybe a little bit of a assumption or a speculation here. If he does name a starter, you know, when he does, obviously he will name one eventually, even if it's days before the Houston game. Do you see it being one of those where he names it and he sticks with it throughout or throughout the non-conference slate, especially when you're playing maybe some of the FCS schools, maybe even when you play UTEP, that you see other quarterbacks hit the fold to see if they can get playing time, especially if it's one of those developmental pieces? Or is it, you think it might be one of, if it's Malik Murphy, for example, it's, this is our guy, we're sticking with him throughout the season, because that was obviously a big rotating door, especially towards the second half of the season last year for Oregon State. What do you think, just an assumption standpoint from what you've seen, do you think it'll be one quarterback and that is the guy, or could you see it being potentially a revolving door or getting other people chances in 2026?
I would say it's going to be one guy. And that's, I think, good. Shep and Dolan have both kind of indicated that whoever that is, they'll show themselves to them and be like, you're the guy, we're going to go with you. And I think situationally you might see whoever it ends up being a backup, right, to come in for a game or two. But, like, I think that's just more situational football, depending on what the score is, everything like that, right? Like, that's probably the only time. And if a change has to be made, I also expect both Mitch and Shepherd to be on the same page and be able to make that call when that call is needed. Because sometimes you have your guy in fall camp and then as the season progresses, he's not necessarily the guy anymore. That was Javonte McCoy 2 years ago going into Bengal Branson, right? Like, that's also can happen. But I don't like the whole revolving door thing, or, you know, two quarterback system kind of a deal. Like,
yeah,
it's always a, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And to me, that's something that I've never really been a fan of, or even to the whole idea giving one quarterback one game and then flipping to another quarterback for the second non-conference game as well, too. The Michigan era with J.J. McCarthy and Cade McNamara, I was never a big fan of that. I don't like that in principle. That's just my take on it. Other people might feel differently. But they'll have a guy whenever that does come time and the opportunity presents itself of one of those three, either it's Murphy, Atkinson, or Jones, taking the reins and saying, I'm the guy. And if it is Murphy, the biggest thing that I think Oregon State fans will probably have a little bit of unease kind of knowing what last year was. But at the same time, I look at it this way. It's like, well, if it's a true quarterback competition and they feel that he's the best to lead them going forward into the season and he wins it, then you kind of have to respect the decision of the coaching staff and kind of go from there, because I understand the apprehensiveness. Like, I really, really do. But, you know, at the same time, it's a lot of things went wrong last year that, and we also said too, not a lot of the time was Murphy's fault anyway. And if that's the case, right, like, give him a fair shake and a fair opportunity under a new coaching staff with a better offensive system and identity to go prove it. Because if he's even close to what he was at Duke 2 years ago,
yeah,
I'd be happy, like, with the results in year one with Jamarcus Shepherd and Mitch Dolan on the offensive side of the ball, because that's what you were kind of hoping for last year. And it really didn't pan out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. If they can find a way to make that step forward and give that Malik Murphy production that you were hoping for last year and kind of continuing on what he did at Duke, that would be unbelievable. And Jamarcus Shepherd, look, you know, he has that offensive prowess, you know, coming over from Alabama as a wide receiver coach, maybe being more of an offensive-minded coach can help Malik Murphy in that system. On the flip side, though, when we talk about maybe some more of these spring takeaways, with Jamarcus Shepherd being an offensive-minded coach, all eyes will be looking on the defense and how that complements Oregon State this next year. It's going to be a completely different shift from going from Trent Bray, who was a defensive coordinator and then take over the head coaching job. And now it's going to be the other way around. What sticks out to you so far defensively for Oregon State? Maybe any breakout players you've seen or anything like that. What is different for Oregon State's defense this year? I'm sure it's a ton.
Well, in terms of the play calling structure, it's Mike McIntyre and then input from Court Dennison, former Idaho DC, now co-DC and linebackers coach. But in terms of scheme, there's not been a lot said from what McIntyre has been able to give us, but they're planning to kind of play a bunch of different looks, fast, physical, and be very disruptive. And that's something where I know that's kind of coach speak, right? when you kind of hear it a little bit, but
yeah.
At the same time though, I feel like it kind of lines up with what McIntyre has done in his coaching career and tenure. And to me, that doesn't necessarily surprise me. I think it's just more going to be exactly what the base defense looks like. What kind of scheme is it exactly? Will it be a true 4-3, 4-2-5, right? Like, those are more the things that I'm kind of curious and I want to kind of know about going forward. But outside of that, in terms of standout guys, because our vantage point is kind of very hard to see the defense in practice, we did hear from Shepherd that Dakari Hickel, defensive end, was impossible to block during the scrimmage. Dakari kind of lines up with Dakari and just being able to what he does well at that spot as the five technique. Dakari had some knee injury a while back, and it kind of hampered him a little bit. But like that kind of lines up with a couple springs ago, where he was pretty much that, like a disruptive force off the edge, where every single time the ball was snapped, you could see Dakari in the backfield like right away. And to me, that already shows that they're emphasizing being disruptive along the front seven there. Dylan Lane's another guy to look out for. Lane came over from Idaho with Dennison, and he's probably going to be in contention for one of those three linebacker spots. I probably expect him to be either a Mike or Will linebacker. And then Aiden Sullivan taking that other spot as well too. But Sullivan's likely going to practice until fall camp because he's rehabbing injuries from last year. And in the secondary, TJ Crandall's back, fully healthy. He had a pick in the first scrimmage. But there's some guys that are standing out early, but it's kind of also really early to kind of tell exactly what this defense is going to be. At least right now, I think we're going to get our best look at that group in the spring game. But I like kind of McIntyre's philosophy and how he wants to scheme up a defense and how to go attack opposing offenses, because that's something where you at least have a little more clear identity of this is what we do well, this is what we're going to tailor our scheme to our players, and we're going to basically throw a bunch of stuff at them, see what they do well, and this is going to be what we're going to make it for our guys on the side of the ball and make it as simple as possible, because I think that also really hurt the defensive front last year, where they were trying to implement what Bray was wanting, at least pass rush and stunts to look like. But I also think, too, for the personnel and who you had, they didn't quite fit. And that's just more of a scheme failing to meet the needs of players. And so both the offense and defense are, you know, kind of being able to meet both of those needs of their players and basically just say, this is what we do well, this is what we don't do well, and this is what we're going to stick with and drill during fall.
Yeah, and exciting stuff. In just a couple weeks' time, on the 25th, is when the spring game hits. Before I let you go here, if there was, let's just say, two main storylines or two interesting storylines that you're looking to see from the spring game from Oregon State, what would you put them out? And of course, quarterback being one of them, but like, what else are you looking for? Maybe some of the big storylines heading into the spring game for Jamarcus Shepard's first year.
The revamped wide receiver room being one of them. You only have a few returners in that room. You have Eddie Freehoff, Jay Drummer, Malachi Durant, right? And Carson Boschma. So you only have really like four guys in there. And you went out and attacked the portal hard. You got some guys from the high school ranks, Aaron Hampton and Aaron Butler are two that really have kind of stood out. As these are your two guys that are probably going to be your wide receiver one and two potentially. So it's just kind of seeing how those guys kind of fit into what Dahlin wants this offensive attack to look like. But really, really much of a, you know, get to see these guys go full speed, right? Like, other than position drills. And then the second thing is special teams, because I've gotten to see a little bit, and it's just more of the whole you know, foundational piece and how the coaching staff looks, because there's a big emphasis of details for special teams after what last year was, and kind of seeing how Larson and then Josh Green have coached up those guys as well. So to me, that those are the things that I'm kind of looking at. But yeah, special teams in particular, because that ghost, I think, will haunt everybody for the rest of time with how bad of a special teams season that was from last year. So
I feel like I gave you a softball right there asking you to talk about special teams. And I feel like that might just be something we do every time you come on the show, making sure we discuss special teams, because I don't think anybody likes special teams more than Ryan Harlan.
Well, that's the thing. Like, special teams is the one phase of football that gets the least amount of attention when everything goes right. And then when everything goes wrong, it gets all the attention going forward. And also, too, it's like punters are people, too, you know, also long snappers. Shout out Sickos Committee for that. But it's true. Like, those are the guys that need a little bit more love. And if, you know, I can do that by talking about them, I'm game for it. So
I'm ready to see the featured piece on the long snappers and punters on beaversedge.com. Ryan Harlan of beaversedge.com on three. Where can everybody else find you on your socials? Because I know you got a lot coming up. I know you've been really busy with Oregon State baseball, the transfer portal for basketball. I don't think you sleep. I know you've been drinking an energy drink while we're talking. I think that's you staying awake, right?
Yeah, we sleep in July, as a wise man once said. That's me. We got baseball season full swing now. Beavers will go up to Hillsboro for a midweek matchup against the Ducks, and then basketball stuff is coming down the pipeline here shortly. You can find all that on Beaver's Edge, as well as my own Twitter at Orion_Harlan7. So any kind of in-game updates, any articles, things like that, any news breaking, that's where you can find all that stuff. We do, in fact, sleep in July. So eat your heart out, John Rothstein. Not all of us sleep in May.
We'll find out if you actually sleep in July. Something will probably happen where you won't be able to put your head on a pillow. Thank you so much for joining this conversation. If you want to see more of Ryan Harlan and what's going on at Beaver's Edge, you can check the show notes below to click those links for easier access as well, or you can just use your search bar. A lot of people like to do that as well. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. We'll see you back here tomorrow. We get another team to break down as the Pac-12 continues to talk about these spring practice updates. We'll see you back here next time right here on the Pac-12 Daily.